baby, if I told you the right word.
Right, Will, you can't sing that anymore. You've got to stop singing. You've been singing
to
that
be mine.
From the moment we arrived at the studio until now. And it's honestly, it's enough.
Such a good song.
You've got a lovely voice, Will.
Cheers.
But,
thank you.
You know.
I have. My name's Will.
And my name's Steve.
You haven't got time to read War and Peace.
Even if it is one of the greatest novels of all time.
587,000 words.
612 grams.
That's the weight of the book.
500 characters.
361 chapters.
3 volumes. 2 epilogues.
And a collection of maps.
We're going to summarise all of it for you.
This is War and Peace
in just 7 years.
Me?
Go on.
Okay. All right, Will,
you're
hello.
You're staring at me.
Will, no, Will, hello.
Steve, no. Hello, Steve.
Welcome, Will, to the 62nd episode of War and Peace in just 7 years.
Welcome to me, and also welcome, of course, to everyone else. Welcome.
How are you doing, Will?
I'm good, all right.
Okay, no, sorry. I'm sorry I asked.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm also fine. Look, I can see you tetchy. I see you on edge. I'm just going to ask you straight off the bat, mate. What happened last week?
It was the beginning of season 4.
Yeah.
And it was all about love. Oh. A very specific type of love to do with informal and formal language between, hang on, I've got it, between Nick and Sonia.
I feel like some mistakes were made last week. I don't know if we were doing our best work.
Steve, mistakes were made. Correct. But thankfully, we had Wappin' 7 fan Jessica on hand to help, even though her help didn't help as much because of our own brains.
Stupidity, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Hopefully we won't make any mistakes this week. I think it's going to be a completely perfect episode.
It will.
And what better way to begin a perfect episode than with a perfect drawing? And we've had absolutely wonderful drawing in from Thinking About Octo Kittens on Instagram. Thank you for your drawing. It's a really brilliant rendition of, is it just 2 drawings of Dr. Lorraine?
Or is it 2 drawings of Dr. Larry?
We don't know. It's Dr. Lorraine, possibly Dr. Lorraine or Dr. Larry standing next to Dr. Lorraine with a little French flag, with a little bucket of condiments. Are they the same person? Are they different doctors?
Well, that's the whole point, right? It really is for us and for you to decide. It's absolutely brilliant. And not only did we get that incredible picture, Thinking About Octo Kitten's sister...
Yeah.
Also sent us a picture. And the only way I can possibly describe it is that it is absolutely ridiculous.
It's a picture of, let's say, a horse with a flag in their mouth.
Maybe.
It says, Darren Reigns Victorious. It's the sort of thing you might see on a fridge.
Yes.
In a nursery. It's very good.
A nursery with very, very young children
it's
in.
It's very good. Thank you. I suspect it was done quite quickly.
Maybe. But,
thank you very much for both of the drawings. They're both very good.
Very good.
If you want to see them, just go to our website, wappin7.com, and look in Tolstoy's Hall of Fame, or you can go to our Instagram.
Which is, of course, at wappin7podcast.
And if you have got any sort of art, it doesn't have to be good, as you can see from one of these stories. It doesn't have to be a work of art,
you
really.
You decide which one.
You can send it in to us. We love getting it. It's brilliant. So do send anything in to us, really.
Please do send it in, either on the Instagram or via an email, or just draw it on a postcard and throw the postcard out your window.
That's it. All right then, Will. Onwards. The reading.
Listen, Steve, do you just want to know the difference between thou and you?
Oh, this again.
should we just build a bridge or whatever it is and get over it? We will shut that can of worms.
Then am I to order those large sterlets?
Sorry, what?
I'm not saying any more about that. We'll find out more about them later.
By the 13th century, people began employing you as a singular pronoun to convey politeness or formality, and I do think that's where we went wrong.
What have the young people come to nowadays, Fiokisti?
This is when you'd use thou to social inferiors. So I would use it when talking to you.
Sure. Very predictable joke, but whatever, mate. If it makes you happy...
It does.
Not going to stand between you and your pathetic jokes.
It really does, though. It does.
And am I to bring the gypsy girls along with him?
Whereas with you, that would express formality or neutrality, and you'd use it in public to your social superiors. So you would use you when talking to me.
What I think confused me, and still confuses me perhaps, is that...
you're not allowed to be confused anymore.
It's that thou is something you say to people who are inferior, but also, at the same time...
Intimate.
It's intimate.
Yeah, it's got many meanings.
How can you get your head? I can't quite get
but
my...
Steve, you've asked a very clever question. We were meant to be shutting the can of worms.
Had there been no bag ration, it would have been necessary to invent him.
Wow, I thought he was dead. The hierarchical use of thou made it an excellent way to put someone in their place. Ah, this isn't helping anything.
Will, you've cleared absolutely nothing up.
It doesn't make any sense. Steve, would thou hurry up?
That's it, exclaimed the Count. And gaily seizing his son by both hands, he cried, on to the summary.
Usually, we'd keep going on with the reading bit, but I don't want to. I'm not reading that article anymore. I don't want to.
I think that that can of worms
has to go.
Isn't quite closed, I think, unfortunately. I think we need a bit more email explanation. If anyone's out there has got more insight, Jess, anyone else, if you've managed to decode it and you can explain it to our simple, simple minds.
Please try. But look, for now, let's leave that slightly opened can of worms. And Steve, if you will, please open a new can of worms by telling me and everyone else what happened.
So, Will, as we know, Nicky's back in town.
Oh, yeah.
He's back. He's back in Moscow. He's on his hollybobs from the army. And everyone, not just him, not just his family, everyone's chuffed about this. All of Moscow.
Oh, everyone.
They're so pleased that he's back.
Literally everyone.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. They think he's charming.
Okay.
They think he's attractive.
Cool.
Polite.
Oh.
Handsome.
Oh.
He's a Hussar lieutenant with the St. George's Cross.
Sorry if I may add, he's a real Hussar.
He's a real Hussar. He really is.
Yeah.
He's young.
Yeah.
Which they like.
Yeah.
Most importantly of all, and I think this makes a lot of sense given the Rostov family, he's, quote, a good dancer.
What an amazing list. No one's ever going to use all of that to describe me, ever.
I know. Well, they might say...
Go on, find one. Can't be hard. Find a couple, surely.
They wouldn't say polite.
They wouldn't.
Not charming.
Yeah. No, they might say charming.
I mean, attractive and handsome are kind of the same.
Same thing. I don't think they'd say either, though.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Cheers. Thank you, though.
No, you're a great guy, mate.
Cheers, mate.
You're a good dancer.
I am a good dancer.
There we go. We got there. So he's having a great time. And as if that wasn't enough, Daddy Rostov has given him a big load of cash.
Oh.
He's done very well this year, Daddy Rostov. He's remortgaged all of his...
just all of it.
All of the stuff, it
everything
said.
He's got.
He's remortgaged everything.
Every single thing.
He's absolutely flush with cash at the moment.
Great.
So he's given his son loads of money, and Nicky's gone out and bought a trotter of his own.
A what?
A trotter of his own, that's a quote.
Like a pig's foot?
I don't know, he's training it for a race.
Okay, so it's like a racing pig.
It could be a horse.
I'm going to write racing pig in my book.
Okay, well, he's got one of them.
Yeah.
He's also bought some, quote, very stylish riding breeches of the latest cut.
Very, very stylish.
And he's also bought some boots of the latest fashion.
See a trend here.
Do you want to have a little guess what the latest fashion is in boots, circa 1806?
Yeah. Mid-thigh they go up to.
Mid-thigh, okay.
Mid-thigh. And then just, I don't know, bright pink.
Bright pink mid-thigh.
Or snakeskin.
Snakeskin.
Mid-thigh, snakeskin. Mid-thigh.
Well, look, I'm picturing it. I really am.
Mm.
Not quite what they say here. That what they, as Tolstoy describes it, they are extremely pointed toes with small silver spurs.
Extremely pointed.
Extremely pointed.
Really pointed.
Like a witch.
Like... like that, would you say?
That's a great drawing. Will's drawn a picture of a doorstop.
I'm just going to label that. That's what we call a fashionable boot.
That's a fashionable boot, circa 1806.
Yeah, I can see why.
Suffice to say, Will, that all of this means that he is, quote, one of the best matches in the city.
He's the hottest man in town.
One of the hottest men in town, absolutely.
Amazing.
And he's been up to all sorts. He's been invited to all sorts of places. He led the mazurka at the Azarkov's ball.
Cool.
He's talked about the war with Field Marshal Kamensky.
Twiddling his mustache.
He's on intimate terms with a 40-year-old colonel.
40?
Apparently. no name given for him.
No.
He's also been visiting a lady on one of the boulevards.
Oh, okay.
Nothing,
wink, wink.
Not explained.
No, sure.
He's been visiting her. A lot like the Hungarian, Caroline the Hungarian, I think.
Yeah, visiting.
Sort of. Just visiting them.
Just visiting.
To chat.
Just a quick chat. Do you like how pointy my boots are?
And Will, just remind us, what does Nikki think of the Emperor?
Alex?
Yeah.
You can take him or leave him.
Take him or leave him. Well, it's kind of right, actually. Here's a quote. His passion for the Emperor had cooled somewhat in Moscow.
Oh.
But still, he often spoke about him and about his love for him. With his whole soul, he shared the adoration then common in Moscow for the Emperor, who was spoken of as the angel incarnate.
I don't think it's cooled, has it? I think yeah, he still loves him quite a bit.
Basically, what it says is it's cooled just because he hasn't had the opportunity to see him.
Oh, yeah. Recharges when he sees him.
If he was in Moscow, then he'd have Alex fever.
It's like Alex is like a rechargeable kind of love battery.
Yes, exactly.
Should I write that down?
Yes, I think you should write that down.
All right.
It's a very good thought. Unfortunately, though, he hasn't been feeling quite the same passion for Sonia.
Oh, dear.
When he thought of Sonia during this stay in Moscow, he said to himself, there will be, and there are many more such girls, somewhere whom I do not yet know. There will be time enough to think about love when I want to, but now I have no time.
Couldn't agree more, mate. So, it's the classic thou, you stuff.
Like, really good.
She's really, really becoming a you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because I think maybe we don't really know for sure, but I think she's quite into him. He can take it or leave it.
Oh, mate, she'll love him forever.
Anyway, Will, that was just bringing you up to date on Nikki's life.
Thank you.
It's going pretty well. It seems nicer than the war in many ways. It's the beginning of March 1806, and Count Rostov is organising a big
dance
party. Yes.
Yes,
he is.
Parties and chats.
What was the last party you organised like, Will?
Oh, he did the Daniel freaking Cooper. The turtle burgers, the gravy boaters. I'm ready.
It's amazing.
The sauce.
And Will, this isn't just any old party.
Oh, come on.
This is an entire festival dedicated to Prince Bagration.
It's Burning Man.
And.
Dedicated to Baggy?
Prince Bagration.
Because he's dead.
He's alive. He's alive.
What?
Sorry, he's alive. He's alive.
Oh, incredible news.
He made it. He survived.
How? He was hit by a cannon.
There was a long, long bit of explanation of war stuff for everyone. Anyway, look, he's alive.
For sure.
He's alive. He's coming.
I swear he was exploded.
He's coming to the party.
All right.
You don't hold a party for an exploded person, do you?
Don't be silly.
They can't be a special guest.
It's Bagfest.
Bagfest is on. And it gets better, Will, because it's going to be held at, and maybe if you want to make some sort of ominous sounds, maybe like sort of Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code-esque.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's going to be held at
dun, 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 dun,
the club.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay.
We're finally going to the club.
We're going to go to the club.
Oh my God, Bagfest in the club.
Specifically, it's called the English Club.
Da English Club.
So Will, if you were throwing a large, very expensive festival.
As always.
He's putting in a lot of his own money here for Prince Bagration. It's going to be at the English Club. What sort of things would you be organising to make it a really special night?
Just go with what's in my head immediately.
Yeah.
Giraffes on rollerblades.
Giraffes on rollerblades, check.
Chips.
Chips for everyone.
And I mean everyone.
Absolutely everyone there.
17 disco balls.
17 disco balls and one final idea.
What? Don't rush me. Don't rush me.
Oh, I wouldn't.
3 personal pineapples per person.
Okay, going one up. Or 2 up maybe from last time.
Yeah.
Pineapples for all. Brilliant. Well, really, some really good ideas. And if you ever run for election or anything like that,
I would suggest
taking that list with you because it's really good.
Thank you.
As we know, the Count is really the real expert at organising a party. So this is what he's gone for.
All right. I'm happy to compare.
The Count walked up and down the hall in his dressing gown, giving orders to the club steward and to the famous Feoctist, the club's head cook, about asparagus.
Oh.
Fresh cucumbers.
Asparagus.
Strawberries.
All right, yeah, good.
Veal and fish for dinner.
All mixed together.
That's not all.
All right.
There's going to be turtle soup.
Oh, I mean, look, Steve, obviously I didn't put turtles on my list. Yeah, obviously turtles were going to be there.
Jesus, come on. Not just any old turtles, though, Will. It's going to be turtle soup with added coxcomb.
Oh, is that a turtle?
I think that's something from a chicken, isn't it?
All right.
Yeah, the bit with the... that bit.
Sounds bloody awful.
I think they're going to chuck that in.
Sounds awful.
There's going to be some large sterlets.
Yeah, large.
And they specifically mention this, there's going to be some mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise? Yeah. All right, look.
Maybe that's the sauce element.
I'm going to start demanding mayonnaise as always at my parties from now on.
Yeah, there's going to be enough mayonnaise for everyone.
Steve, what about the mayonnaise?
How can I eat my soup without mayonnaise? Or my large sterlet?
All right, mayo and asparagus. That's a real shock.
Yeah, that's going to be really delicious.
All right.
He's ordered 200 pots of flowers. He wants them here by Friday.
200?
200 pots of flowers.
I'd have gone higher.
Well, and what about the music?
We're going to want the absolute most banging tunes of the day.
He will. So he's got his own orchestra coming in.
Is it the Gravy Boaters?
It doesn't mention the Gravy Boaters. We'll have to find out, I suppose, later on.
Yeah, okay.
Also, he wants the Gypsy Singers to come along.
I'm on board with this.
He needs help with this. Anna 2's knocking around and she offers to do some errands.
Of course she will, for a bit of cash probably.
So he says, yeah, fantastic. That's great. It'll be a big help. Can you go to Count Bezukhov's house? That's Pierre.
And get 400 litres of mayonnaise.
Nearly. Get some strawberries and pineapples because he's obviously incredibly loaded, is Pierre.
Mm.
He's got a hot house, a greenhouse.
Oh, he's got bare pineapples in there.
Strawberries, pineapples, no matter the time of year.
Oh, amazing.
You can get a pineapple at Pierre's.
I think having a pineapple in early 19th century Russia meant you were de bomb. And mayonnaise.
Well, just think about it. If you didn't have a plane or loads and loads of trucks.
And Steve, hear me out. Yeah. No one would have done.
No one
would have had either.
And you're
they?
In Russia.
Mm.
I don't know where pineapples are originally from. I don't think it's Moscow.
I don't know either, but I'm guessing it's not.
Anyway, while Anna 2's there, and while they're talking about Pierre, Anna 2 reveals that she's got some salacious gossip about Pierre.
Pierre gossip.
This is actually quite salacious. So this is Count Rostov.
Is his wife with him?
If what we hear is true, it is dreadful. This is Anna 2.
Yeah.
How little we dreamed of such a thing when we were rejoicing at his happiness. And such a lofty angelic soul as young Bezukhov. What's happened?
What's happened?
Dolokhov, Mary Ivanova's son, she said in a mysterious whisper, has compromised her completely, they say.
I think this book, the translation, this is what Jessica said, it's very literal.
What I know is this, well,
okay.
Pierre invited Dolokhov over to his house in Petersburg for a sleepover.
For a pineapple, bit of mayonnaise.
Pineapple, have a pint and a pineapple.
Play the Nintendo.
Play the Nintendo, have a cup of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Just two mates hanging out.
Just two lads having fun.
They don't go into this much detail, but I imagine then his wife walked into the room.
Mm.
Dolokhov thought...
That's a nice wife.
That's a nice wife. Anyway, to cut a long story short, Pierre's wife has now run away to Moscow.
Oh, she's just run away.
And Dolokhov has followed her.
All right, so Dolokhov, the funny man, funny boy, little comedian, pinched Pierre's wife, the richest Possibly. Man in Russia.
Possibly. We don't know for sure, but
Cough.
You remember we had a listener write in and they said that there's a lot of people that believe that Pierre is asexual.
Yeah.
So he's not interested, basically.
Oh, because wait, he doesn't care about this, really.
Whether or not he... I don't know if he cares or not. I mean, I can't imagine it's nice to have your wife stolen... Even if you fancy her or not, but...
I demand he was drowned in mayonnaise.
Anyway, look, so that might have happened. It's just gossip. We don't know for sure.
It's not just gossip. It's Anna 2 gossip.
Count Rostov says, Dear, but tell him to come to the club. It will all blow over. It will be a tremendous banquet.
It doesn't matter about his stolen wife.
It doesn't matter that someone stole your wife. It's going to be a great party.
Come to the party. We've got mayonnaise. And we've got that guy who dances. Come along.
Come along. It's going to be great.
We've got half a ton of asparagus. It doesn't matter about your wife.
The soup's got cockcomb in it.
It's the jiggly bits on the chicken.
Possibly.
Perhaps.
No one knows.
Yes, your wife has left you by running away.
And your house is burnt down and everyone's dead. Come to a party.
There's a turtle in the hot water.
Well, yeah? Just take a moment here, because I've got some bad and also some good news for you personally.
It can't be for me.
It's for you personally.
You are reading your phone. I hope those aren't texts.
Got some bad.
I locked my girlfriend out of the house again.
I've got some bad and good news for you.
All right.
Unfortunately, mate, I did try putting a good word for you, but unfortunately,
what's going on?
Unfortunately, you weren't invited to the banquet.
Oh, am I not?
No, sorry about
list.
That.
Are you on the list?
You're not on the list. Not old. You're not rich, or you're not actually cool enough.
yeah.
To be invited, but.
Do you enjoy doing that bit?
But look, I found a way. I found a way to get you in,
little man.
I found a way to get you in.
Have you?
You can still go.
Good.
As one of the many, many footmen.
Yeah.
Whose services are required to make this party a big success. So pop on your uniform if you could.
I'll just take my postman uniform off. Didn't use it for long, did I?
Take that off and put on. Yeah. You're on.
Why am I pretending to put something on?
No. Put on your new uniform. It's your smart stockings.
All right. Hang on. They're on.
And your buckled shoes.
Okay.
And you're also going to need to powder your hair quite a lot.
Oh, about time.
Okay, well, all that done. Stack up your tray because, well,
yep,
it's party time.
It's party time. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay. Okay, you have got quite a lot of work to do, though, as a footman.
I was trying to set the scene. I thought you'd talk over it.
Oh,
you're like,
see,
hey, right. What's up?
Okay.
Doesn't matter that. I can't do that anymore.
Next day.
Oh, the party's over.
The 3rd of March.
Almost spring.
Yeah, some would say it is spring.
Would they?
Some.
No, not the 3rd of March. We'll fall out. We don't fall out, really. We'll fall out over that.
Next day, the 3rd of March, soon after 1 o'clock.
Oh, wow. This is the most specific time reference ever.
250 members of the English club and 50 guests were awaiting the guest of honour and hero of the Austrian campaign, Prince Bagration.
Limo pulls up. Prince Baggy comes out and he's like, what's up, mother flippers? Bow, bow, bow. Yeah. Everyone's losing their minds.
Okay.
Woo!
Okay. It's interesting you said that. Bear that in mind.
That could be sick.
Bear that in mind. That's interesting.
Okay.
I'm just going to paint the scene a bit more. You can close your eyes if you want.
I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, right. You don't have to. This is an optional one.
No, I'd do it.
On that 3rd of March, all the rooms in the English club were filled with a hum of conversation.
Amazing.
Like the hum of bees swarming in, this is interesting, isn't it? In springtime. Anyway.
Yeah, tough that. All right.
The members and guests of the club wandered hither and thither, sat, stood, met and separated. Some in uniform and some in evening dress, and a few here and there with powdered hair and in Russian kaftans.
And actually a couple dressed fully as Smurfs.
You're amazing.
Couple.
Absolutely amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
So, Will, you're there.
I am.
With your high socks on and your wonderful shoes. You've got your tray.
Not the drink master.
And you and all the other footmen are anxiously noting visitors' every movement in order to offer your services.
I'm not anxious.
No, you are. It says it in the book. You're very anxious because they're so
all
impressive.
Right. Agree to disagree again.
You can overhear the conversations, perhaps. They're all chatting.
I've heard he's proper famous, you know.
Yeah, they're probably talking about that. There are also a lot of conversation. I have taken a lot of conversation out about the war.
Yeah, fair enough. We were there. We were literally there.
Yeah, basically we were there. No one in Moscow can believe that Russia lost the Battle of Austerlitz. They're all in complete shock about it, but there we go.
It is what it is.
There was a lot of fog. Anyway, well, you're there with your tray, your lovely little socks on. You're looking around the room. Yep. Who do you see?
Firstly, who is that?
Oh, it's Denisov.
Oh, that's Denisov.
Young Rostov.
That's Rostov there.
Dolokhov.
Dolokhov's there.
Yeah, he's there.
He stole Pierre's wife.
He was invited.
Oh, mate, this is going to kick off. It's going to be a fight.
Nesvitsky's there.
Yeah, he's red.
Pierre's there.
Yeah.
And Pierre, God, you're thinking, wow, gosh, his hair is so long.
Such long hair.
And you're also thinking,
I am.
Oh, doesn't he look sad and dull?
What a sad, dull man with such long, stupid hair.
So Pierre is there. If the gossip is true, it's understandable why he looks so sad.
His hair's grown long out of sadness.
Well, it's not necessarily that bit, but the bit where they describe him as dull and sad.
That's implying he's sad.
That's what I took from that. He's sort of wandering around because he's so rich.
Has anyone seen my wife?
He's not allowed to hang around with the young people. He has to hang around with the old, important men.
That's weird.
They're all talking about the war.
Oh, classic.
And Naryshkin's there too. And
not him.
Yeah, he's there and he's crowing like a cock. as he also talks about the war.
Look, say what you want about our translation. It is funny at points.
I like our translation
a lot. It's great. Such a great hothouse.
Shinshin is there also.
Shinshin's the old guy dressed like a teenager.
He's incredibly cool.
What up, dude? He's got a skateboard.
I could spend longer with Shinshin at this party. Me too. But in the bit I read, at least, we don't get very much from Shinshin.
I could see him in his hoodie, 87-year-old man, be like, yeah, so this skateboard, right? You just do kickflips on it and it's so super dope, man.
So Count Rostov is obviously there. It's his party.
Oh, yeah.
He's hithering and thithering in his soft boots. And you can imagine this. We've seen him in action before. He's greeting everyone.
Yeah. He's bowing.
He's chatting. Doesn't mention bowing, but he must be doing a lot of bowing.
He is.
Please come and visit us. You know my brave boy. You've been together out there, both playing the hero. Ah, Vasily Igantovich. How do you do, old fellow?
He's limbering up as well underneath. You can feel the dance moves building up in his soft feet.
Suddenly, one of your colleagues rushes in.
Hello?
Do you want to give him a name? I thought maybe you'd like to name him.
I'd love to name him, yeah.
One of your colleagues.
One of my colleagues and potential friends.
Probably.
Maybe we'll call my colleague Steve.
Okay.
Yeah. Suddenly we'll call him Steve.
Sure.
And hang on a sec. I'm higher up, obviously, so he's my subordinate.
Okay.
But we'll go with Steve.
All right, then. Suddenly, one of your colleague footmen rushes in.
Who? What's his name?
Steve. He runs in with a frightened face.
He does sound frightened.
And he announces, he's arrived. Bells rang. The stewards rush forward. And, like rye shaken together in a shovel, the guests who had been scattered about in different rooms came together and crowded in the large drawing room by the door of the ballroom.
God, that's such a clever metaphor on the shovel. That's really cool.
I've never done it before and I never will, but I can picture it.
Shaking it and it all just comes. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's good. Well, Will, I'm pleased to announce it's the one, the only, Prince Bagration.
Come on down, Baggy.
He's wearing...
What up, mother flipper?
He's wearing a tight new uniform.
It's so tight.
He's got firm and virile features.
He's got one eye.
Has he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't mention that, but yeah, sure. And, quote, evidently just before coming to the dinner, he had had his hair and whiskers trimmed.
Oh, he sounds incredible.
Which had changed his appearance for the worse.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's not going perfectly to plan, Will. Let's hear your music again. He walked shyly and awkwardly over the parquet floor of the reception room, not knowing what to do with his hands.
I've really misread this.
Keep going.
What up? Mother flippers.
He was more accustomed to walk over a ploughed field under fire.
Oh, he doesn't like it because he's incredibly psychologically scarred from the war.
He's been at the war a long, long time, possibly all of his life, and he's completely forgotten basically how to be around people, how to walk on wood, all sorts of things.
Oh, tough. You want someone to go up to him like me, perhaps, and go, Baggy, all you've got to say is put your hands in the air and go, what up, mother flippers?
This is mother flippers.
You've got to.
Well, it's not bothering the crowd. There's an absolutely huge crowd around him.
Mm.
They're jostling. And they're, quote, trying to get a good look at Bagration as if he was some kind of rare animal. Make way, dear boy, make way, says Rostov, laughing. And he's pushing people as well. As he takes Bagration, he gets him and he takes him into the drawing room onto the centre sofa.
Oh, such a sofa.
As soon as Count Rostov has sat him down on the sofa, he stands up again. Rostov stands up again and he thrusts his way through the crowd and comes back with a little present.
This is your own personal pineapple carved into the shape of mayonnaise.
A golden pineapple in the shape of my face.
Just for you.
Made entirely out of mayonnaise.
You won't believe how difficult it was to make it.
No, it's not a golden mayonnaise pineapple. It's in fact a large silver salver.
Wow.
And it's engraved with a small poem about Prince Bagration.
Like how I pretended I knew what a salver was.
I don't know what it is either. I think it's probably a plate.
Yeah,
that's the sort of thing you engrave.
It's a plate with a poem on it.
Bagration, on seeing the salver, glanced around in dismay as though seeking help.
That's a bad plate.
He doesn't know how to be at a party. He doesn't know how to be anywhere other than the battlefield.
Oh, I feel really sorry for Baggy.
But basically, they peer pressure him into reading it out.
Read out the plate! Read out the plate!
Which is exactly what I'm going to do to you. So,
lovely.
If you'd like to get your telephone open, Here it is, Prince Bagration reluctantly reading the wonderful plate present he's just received, salver present.
Bring glory then to Alexander's reign. And the throne our Titus' Perfect. Shield, a dreaded foe wonderful. Be thou, kind-hearted as a man, a refuse at home, a Caesar in the field. Would you like me to keep reading, Steve?
No, but before he had finished reading, Stentorian Majordomo announced that dinner was ready. So, Will, get your little tray and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Your little tray and all you pick up some empties or whatever, and off you go into the drawing room because, Will, it's dinner time.
Oh, lovely.
Not quite as much information as I would have liked about the dinner.
That's a shame.
So I'll give you the highlights.
Thank you.
I can tell you that people called it, quote, splendid.
So splendid, this mayonnaise.
Someone said everything was excellent.
Especially the mayonnaise.
The sterlet was so big, it made Count Rostov blush with self-conscious pleasure.
It's hard to even respond to that.
I love Count Rostov.
Oh my, it's so big.
Oh, quick, Will.
Huh?
Pull up your stockings, get your glasses, and go and get the champagne.
Yeah.
Because it's time.
It's time for the toast.
It's time for the toast.
Exactly.
You know it. Exactly. Yeah.
Mate, I've worked at these events. It's time for the toast.
The Count exchanged glances with the other committee men. That's the English club committee men. And taking up his glass, he rose. All were silent, waiting for what he would say. Well, as the newest member of the footman team, and also the leader, apparently, according to you,
yep.
Would you like to make a short speech just before...
The main speech?
The main speech, just the footman's speech.
Am I addressing the other footman?
This is, sure, to the other footman, if you want, in the back room, yeah. Sure.
Listen, footman, my word, have you been great today, huh?
Okay.
I, the king of the footmen, my lowly serf, Steve, okay. The lowest footman here. Okay. Even he's done well.
Yeah.
Let's go out there, yeah, and give them their champagne because they're paying our wages. I love you all. I'd love you all.
Okay, and I think that would get a polite response from the footman. I think they'd go, yeah.
Yeah.
But Will,
yes.
This is how to give a speech.
Oh, all right.
Rostov knows how to please a crowd. Old Rostov, specifically this crowd.
Yeah.
To the health of our sovereign, the emperor, he cried. And at the same moment, his kindly eyes grew moist with tears of joy and enthusiasm.
Oh, he's crying.
Nice. It's a short speech that the band immediately starts playing, Conquest's Joyful Thunder Waken.
Such a tune.
Everyone stands up and they all cry, hurrah!
Hurrah!
he's still standing up. Then he says again, to the health of our sovereign, the emperor.
Hurrah!
Hurrah! Downs his glass.
Oh, and one love this gulp, guy.
And he throws it on the floor. He smashes his glass on the floor.
Yes!
The old count gets up one more time and gives another little speech.
Does it again. Does another shot. Trousers fall off and he's like, come on!
It's a slightly different one this time. He says, to the health of our hero of our last campaign, Prince Peter Ivanovich Bagration.
Baggy, get up and do a backflip.
His blue eyes, they go moist. They're moist eyes. They're moist blue eyes.
He's crying all the time.
And everyone says, hurrah.
Hurrah.
And then the choir starts singing a cantata.
This sounds absolutely brilliant. And then Baggy's in the corner just shaking and crying. Let me go home. I don't even want my plate.
Let me go back to war.
I don't even like all the stupid shouting.
But it's time for one last toast, Will.
One final toast.
Even the footman can be involved in this. So raise your glass as well.
All right.
They drank to, and you have to bear with me here, they drank to Belyashev.
Yep.
Narishkin.
Yeah.
Yurovov.
God, they're going to be wasted.
Dolgorukov. Aparaskin.
Yeah.
Valyevev.
Mm-hmm.
To the committee,
mm-hmm.
to all the club members,
all of them.
To all the club guests.
Individually.
And finally, to Count Ilya Rostov separately as the organizer of the banquet.
Amazing.
At that toast, the count took out his handkerchief and, covering his face, wept outright.
He is such a baller. He knows how to do a party.
He knows how to do a party. That's the end of dinner. That's the end of the episode.
Imagine ending your own dinner party, standing in the middle of everyone, smashed out of their heads, pull up a handkerchief and just start weeping.
Broken glass all over the floor.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. This guy, Count Rostov, is the coolest character of any book.
And I remember last time he had a party, we thought it was over.
Nellie Cooper.
But there was more after dinner. So I don't know what's coming in the later chapters, but I'm hoping.
Oh, my word.
That we stay with this storyline.
Oh,
and
mate.
There's more.
Yes.
Parties. I hope so. That's my hope. There we go. That was at least some, possibly all, of an incredible party at Count Rostov's house. And
all right, lads, let's go in and clean up all the glasses. Am I still a footman?
Yeah, for now. I think you're a footman until you get a new job. So, yeah.
Fair play.
It's the summary.
Okay, then, Will, how are you doing?
Yeah, mate, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I didn't mean that word. I meant, have you got a summary for me? I've got a timer on the clock. I'm ready to go,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, I've always got stuff ready.
Okay,
right?
Great. All right, then, here we go. Let's hear your summary in 3, 2, 1.
Time for toast. Pierre has lost his wife and grew his hair, but doesn't care, or does he? Nicky's the best man in town. It's time for Bagfest. Smash glasses, do a toast, get in the club.
Nice, yeah.
What up, mother flippers?
very cool and very cool and wicked.
Very flip, cool, dip and hip.
Very cool. Very, very on trend.
Do you know what, Steve? Back in the past of Weapon 7, I remember getting tired of like the parties and the chats.
Yeah.
But now, having been at war, I'm loving them. I don't want to go back to war now. I want to stay having these parties. Rostov, man, that guy can absolutely put on a party.
He knows how to throw an incredible, incredible party.
Incredible.
I hope that we see a bit more of it. And what I love is all the details, all the food. I can just imagine all this stuff.
The mayonnaise.
And we're so lucky these days, aren't we? Because if I wanted to throw a party with some mayonnaise and a pineapple...
it would be such a bad party.
Well, yeah, there's also that.
Just you sat there with your mates, little jar of mayo.
It wouldn't impress anyone.
No, but then people were crying.
People were crying because of the pineapples. And I think we can all appreciate just how lucky we are to have completely free...
Free-flowing.
Readily available access to mayonnaise.
Do you know what? We can all learn from Count Rostov as well, especially Steve... Us as old men, right?
Sure.
That we shouldn't be scared of our emotions. That we should hold a party for friends and at the end stand up and just start crying.
Absolutely wonderful, Will. And I can't top that. That's actually a nice moment to end on.
It is.
And it's a good point Will's made. So I hope you all have a lovely week.
I hope the same.
Have a party with your friends and have a pineapple. I say.
Pop out and get some mayo. See you next week. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of War and Peace in just 7 years. You are an incredible fresh diplomat. We hope you enjoyed that incredible party as much as we did. What can we ask of you, you ask of us? Well,
do they?
We will ask you but one thing. Share the show. We want to grow it, so tell people. Grab someone and say, oi, Weapon 7, and say nothing else, and then they'll search for it and find it. But also, check out our Patreon. We'd love your support. We want to do more books, more things. And to be honest, that only really happens if you wonderful, wonderful people support the show.
To do that, it'll only take, I reckon, maybe 3 minutes. That's my honest assessment.
Go to
patreon.com/weapon7. You could give us £1 or dollar or whatever. You could give us two, you could give us three, you could give us five, you could give us 10. But whatever amount you give us, it's really going to help the podcast. So if you've got £1 that you don't need this month, then please consider giving it to Weapon 7, because we want to make more stuff and we want you to be there with us too.
Listen, thank you so much in advance. Enjoy the rest of your week. Be free. Be free now. Be free.
Goodbye.
Be free.
Fly.
Fly. Fly, my pretties.